You know, compassion is it's just a synonym for mercy. You want to look up the definition of mercy. First word you find is compassion. Let me look up what compassion. You look in the dictionary, you open it up, and the first word you find is mercy. So mercy and compassion run together then. And so I'm thankful that the Lord's mercy and the Lord's compassions fail not. Because if they did, we'd all be in trouble. Isn't that right? But they do not. Get your Bible in your hand, and this is going to be a topical message. We're going to move from one place to another. So let's start off in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. And the first thing we're going to look at is sustaining compassion, sustaining compassion. And as we look at this, we'll see some things about the Lord, and I hope to be able to challenge you before you get out of here tonight. Compassion is a strange creature, isn't it? Some of us have compassion on things like snakes. I don't have compassion on snakes. I have compassion on puppy dogs. Little puppies just tear me up. I mean, I see little puppies running around. It's up to me. Every time I drive down the road and see a sign that says free puppies, I want to stop and get some, you know? And I'm a broken heart for little puppies, and they just tear me up. Little old balls of fur, you know, they're so cute to play with and stuff, but then they grow up and ruin everything. It's like my grandson before he got teeth, my daughter said, "Dad, I don't want Joshua getting any older." I said, "Why not?" She said, "He looks so cute without teeth." I said, "Don't worry, he'll get old and lose them." So at any rate, he'll wind up without those teeth again someday. Isn't that right? Sustaining compassion. Let's read this. Lamentation chapter 3, verse 22. It says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not." Sustaining compassion. It's an interesting thing. We look at the Lord and we realize that, boy, there's some sustaining compassion. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. You know, it's an interesting thing. So what I begin to see then is compassion has a restraining effect upon it, doesn't it? I mean, compassion can stop us from doing things that other people think that we're going to do. I never will forget, I saw this fellow one time, and my uncle used to be the dog catcher, all right? And I was riding with him one day, and boy, there's a big old dog. And for those of you who don't know it, they used to give dogs nicotine shot. And you give a dog a shot of nicotine, raw nicotine, kill him just like that. Matter of fact, he'd kill you just like that. I mean, instantly, just instant. And my uncle, he was as hard as Superman's kneecaps, I'm telling you. And he just, I mean, nothing ever bothered him. He was as cold blooded as an ice cube. But when I was riding with him one day, I found his weak spot. We went by this house, and this big old dog, and these people had abused it, and the mama dog had died, and here was all these little old puppies out there running around. And I thought, surely he's not going to kill them puppies. He didn't. He took every one of them home. I thought, he's got a soft spot. But when I got to his house, I thought my aunt was going to murder him because they already had a whole backyard full of dogs, and they all started off as puppies. And you know what caused that in him? You see, there was sustaining compassion in him for little puppies, and he just couldn't stand to hurt a little puppy. And sustaining compassion, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. You know that? Now listen, I want you to realize something tonight. You and I are not being consumed because the Lord's having mercy upon us. There's a fellow that I know, and this guy, he come out of a very rough background. God saved him. Boy, praise God for that. And this is his favorite verse. And I saw him one day, and he wasn't in the best of moods, and he'd been kind of grumpy, and I started talking to his wife. I said, where's John at? She said, Grumpy's out back. And I went out there and found him. He said, boy, he said, if it wasn't for the Lord's mercies, we'd be consumed. He said, at least I would today. I don't know about the rest of you. But now listen, folks, do we realize that this sustaining compassion, the very compassion that the Lord has for you and me, is something that ought to touch you and me in such a way that allows us to have some sustaining compassion on those around you and me that not necessarily are the most polite, the most kindness, the most congenial persons? You see, sustaining compassion allows me to love the unlovable. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a hard thing for me. But sustaining compassion, you see, is an attribute that allows us to do something because God does it. Now, it's hard for us, this sustaining compassion. I mean, I know that you people here have somebody in your life that irritates you like a stone in your shoe. But boy, you know what? When godly compassion moves in on you, you know, you find yourself having compassion on these people anyway. I'm thinking of a fellow, before I move on, this man, he had... we were in Vietnam, and this guy, he just wasn't a nice guy, all right? And this not-so-nice guy, he had a weak spot. So let me tell you, you know what I've learned about everybody? I don't care how mean you are. You've got a weak spot somewhere. There's something in you somewhere. You'll have compassion on something or somebody somewhere. I've learned that over the years. And this guy, he had compassion on nothing. I mean, he was a cold-blooded dude. Until one day we were walking through a little old village, and there was a couple little naked, hungry kids over there. And this guy that usually cares nothing for nobody. As he walked by, I saw him reach in his pocket, and he pulled out the sea ration cans, and he pulled out some bread, and he pulled out some other stuff out of his pockets, and he hollered. He said, wait a minute. We all stopped and looked at him. He said, there's a lot of things I can do, but I can't not walk past those hungry kids right there. He said, I can't do it. And the food he had, he gave to those kids. He gave them some other things. He pulled a poncho liner out and gave it to them. And you know something? I learned something about him that day. Because up until the day that man died, he would not walk past a child without giving that child something. You know, that man had a sustaining compassion in him for them. Now listen to me. If a lost man that knows not Christ, nor has ever experienced the indwelling of the Spirit of God in their life and the converting power of God Almighty, can have some type of sustaining power and sustaining compassion like that, then what in the world should the saved people have? Point two, shared compassion. Shared compassion. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. You know, shared compassion. It says here, having compassion one of another. Let's read those two verses. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. It said, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. And then it says, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. You know, we could spend the whole hour dealing with those two verses, couldn't we? Without a doubt. But let's back up. Let's learn something from this. There's a principle that I believe here that we ought to live by. There in verse 8, it said, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. It says, love as brethren. It said, be pitiful, be courteous. You know, shared compassion is a strange creature in that sense also. You know, one of the things that allow us to share this compassion, it's one thing for us to look at somebody and be angry with them because of the way they act, the way they talk, what they do. But you know something? You see, many times we look at people and they don't know what they're doing. They don't. I think one of the greatest lessons I've ever learned in this area was from an elderly grandmother, very elderly, many grandchildren, and some of those grandchildren were wild, and but they all loved grandma. And one day I was talking to one of the oldest grandchildren, and he was a rascal at the time, and he said this. He said, you know, there's one thing about grandma that I can count on. And I said to him, I said, what's that? He said, grandma's compassion is founded upon pity. He said, the one thing that captured me was simply this. He said, I realized that grandma just wasn't being nice to me in my rebellion because she was my grandmother. He said, I said to her one day, and I was carrying on, and she just put her arm on my shoulder and looked me right square in the face. And she said, I love you, and I have great compassion for you. And he said, I made the mistake of asking why. And he said, grandma looked me in the face. And she said, come here, come here. And she walked me to the door, and she said, see that little dog right there that only has two legs? He said, yeah. She said, that little dog, as a puppy, didn't have enough sense to know not to run out in that road and get in front of that car. And she said, I had compassion on it. I had pity on the little puppy. And I brought it back here, and she said, we fixed it up, and it drags this little bottom around as it crawls around and stuff. And she looked up at me, she said, I have pity for you. I pity you. And she said, with that pity, I can have compassion for you regardless of how you act, what you say to me or anything. She said, I can have compassion on you because I pity you. I want you to know something. If there's somebody in your life that's just an irritant, if there's somebody in your life that's tearing your heart out, if there's a son or a daughter in your home and they're tearing your heart out, listen, if you want to have some sustaining compassion on that soul and you want to be able to share some compassion with them, listen, don't look at their actions. If you'll ask God to allow you to pity them like He pitied you, you'll be able to have some real compassion on them that throws you to your knees in prayer for them. There was a fella that I knew, and he was a rascal, and God saved him, and he went into the Marines, and boy, I mean, God was working on him something terrible. He got on a boat going to Vietnam, And God's working on him. God's working on him. He couldn't go to sleep on a troop ship. Can you imagine that? And somebody gave me a cup of coffee today, and I told him, I said, they gave me that cup of coffee, and it tasted like something that a Navy cook made at the end of the Second World War. But at any rate, listen, he got on that troop ship and couldn't go to sleep. He went to the doc, said, "Doc, I can't go to sleep." The doc gave him a pill. He said, "Take this, go lay down, you go to sleep." He said, "I can't do it." And so he went, he took the pill, went back, laid down, laid there, just stared up. He went back, told Doc, he said, "Pill didn't work." Doc said, "I'm going to give you a shot." So he said, "I'm going to give you this shot. You run for your bunk." He said, Doc gave him a shock. I run for my bunk. I laid down in my bunk. I was still looking up. He said, finally, I just said, "All right." He said he fell out of that bunk right in front of all them other Marines, got on his knees and called on God. Amen. Now listen, you know what that's all about? That's all about God having pity and compassion on a rascal. Somebody asked later on, "Where's he at?" They said, "He's in the back of the ship back there." "What's he doing back there?" Man, he'd got everybody in his platoon back there. He's preaching to them. You see, when we look at shared compassion, it's that having compassion one of another. You know something? If you and I can pity one another, we can have compassion on one another. There in verse 8 it says, "Be courteous." In verse 9, "Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that ye there are unto," look at that, what's it say? "Called that ye should inherit a blessing." Listen, folks, shared compassion is something that's going to allow us to inherit a blessing down the road. You want a blessing? Boy, learn, let God do a work in your heart about compassion and have this compassion one on another. Watch what it does for you. You see, it'll change your whole life. When I began to look at this, I realized that, you know, you and I cannot have compassion upon everybody and everything, can we? It's impossible. But boy, when God goes to work on you and me, then we'll find that we can have compassion. Isn't that right? Now, basically, my makeup is not one that has compassion in it. But God can handle that. And He has handled that. Oh, He's handled. He does. And you know something? What God handles in me, God can handle in you. But you know, I've realized something about this. You see, when God brings you and me to a place in our lives where we say, we cry out to God, "Dear God, what's really missing in my life? Why, God, is my prayer life so scattered? Why is it, God, that, you know, I get around lost people and things, and boy, I just sometimes just don't care to talk to them and stuff." And I realize that what's missing, God, what's missing, what's in my life, what's not there? Boy, God comes back with this thing of compassion. You know, if you really cared about them, you'd talk to them. If you really cared about them, you'd pray for them. If you really cared about them, you'd take a little time to minister to them, to help them, to spend some time with them. If you really cared about them. Boy, you know, I say, "God, I can see the problem, but I need the answer." I've learned that in Christianity, many of us, we're diagnosticians, aren't we? Man, we can diagnose problems so fast and make your head swim. But for us to come up with solutions to the problems, we're kind of weak on that side of it, aren't we? Anybody can walk up and say, you this, you that, they're this, they're that. Most people already know it. They're not looking for somebody else to tell them what they already know. They're looking for somebody that has a little compassion on them, that'll talk to them and give them an answer. Give them a direction. Third point. Selective compassion. Selective compassion. Turn to Romans chapter 9 real quick. Romans chapter 9, selective compassion. This is quite clear. As I look at this, I realize that God, in all His mercy here, Romans 9, we look at verse just 15, and then we're going to go to Jude. But Romans 9, 15, it said, for He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. When I was in Germany in the military for a while, and my roommate was a guy named Bill Tibbs. Bill Tibbs stood probably about 7 foot tall, weighed about 300 pounds. He was built from the shoulders to the waist. I mean, like that. And Bill Tibbs, he sleeping in the same room with me. We had this little old room in this World War II barracks, and it was winter time, big windows, no insulation, a little old water radiator here supposed to heat the room up. Room would get so cold of a night that I'd set water out, it'd freeze. So I mean, I'm the type of guy, I went to bed, I put a blanket on top of my sleeping bag. Bill Tibbs would come in there, he'd lay down there, all the thing, he'd come in there all embalmed, and he'd lay down on the bed over there. The only thing he'd have on was a pair of cut-off breeches or something. Lay down there, big old belly sticking up, and he'd snore like a hog with sinus trouble. But I had this little tape recorder, and I always had gospel music on it, and he'd come in there all inebriated. He'd say, can I play some of your music? Yeah, go ahead, you know. And there he was all inebriated, listen to that stuff laying over there. But Bill one night went down to the NCO club and got in some trouble, almost killed a man, and now they were going to court-martial Bill Tibbs. I was down the hallway, and a man come up and told me, he said, Tibbs is sitting in the window up there. Better go down and talk to him. I walked down the hallway and swung the door open, and Bill was sitting in the window. I said, Bill, what are you doing? He said, they're going to court-martial me. He said, the Army's been my life. I'm going to lose my rank, everything. He said, it's all over. And you know, Bill, there's been a lot of us praying for Bill. And for some reason, God just said to me, if it wasn't for my grace and compassion on you, buddy, it'd be you sitting in that window. So I walked into the room a little bit, and I said, Bill, if you jump, you think you're going to end it all. I said, before you bounce twice on that concrete down here, your soul's going to be in hell. I said, I got another solution for you, and you know what it is. And old Bill turned around and looked at me. And I thought, Lord, what do I do now? So I just knelt down beside the bed. And old Bill crawled out of the window. And he knelt down beside me. Lord, mercy, that man got to praying. He got to thanking God for saving him. Oh, it just stirred his soul. I mean, Bill got happy. He jumped up and hollered, God save me. I jumped up. That was my mistake. The big dude grabbed me and he hugged me, about broke me in half. went out the hallway barefoot, snow outside, run down the hallway, hugging everybody, went down the stairway, hugging everybody the stairway. Next time I look out the window, he's out standing out there in the snow barefoot, shouting cane on. You know what? And he come back up there, and you know what the first words out of his mouth was? He looked at me and he said this. He said, God's had compassion on me.
Amen.
Now listen, folks. God uses means over miracles.
Amen.
I heard an elderly German-Russian man praying, and as he went through his prayer list, here's what he said. I can still see him just as clear as a bell. That little old Russian man on his knees, they don't lean on things. They was on his knees. He was like this. And boy, he went through that crowd and he was saying, Lord, please have compassion on this one. And Lord, please have compassion on that one. And Lord, have compassion on my son. One after another, he named them. And he was asking God to have compassion on them. You see, they all realized that compassion makes a difference. Turn to Jude chapter 1, verse 22. I started to say turn to Jude 10. Y'all have been looking for that one for a while, wouldn't you? You see, when I think of this, look here now. Look what it says, Jude 1, 22. Look what it says. And some, let's just read verse 21 with it. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. You know something, ladies and gentlemen, of some we can't have compassion on all. We're not built that way. But boy, we can sure have compassion on some, isn't that right?
Amen.
And it says making a difference. You really want to make a difference in somebody's life? Have compassion on them. There was a young Vietnamese woman that had come to the United States. And she in trouble, out of trouble, prostitution, drugs, everything you could think of. One of the Gideons went into the jail and he tried to talk to her. Boy, she was just violent with him. And anyway, he wanted to get the word of God to her. I mean, he was just a very compassionate man. And she wouldn't take it, so he threw it in the jail cell. And it slid across the floor, went under the bunk. And that girl sat there in the middle of the night. She got out of bed and she began to feel around under the bed looking for a cigarette butt to smoke. And boy, her hand hit the Word of God. Boom! And she picked that little New Testament up and she began to read it there in that jail cell. And boy, verse after verse, God began to burn holes in her soul. Oh, she was thinking, oh, I'm in trouble. But she got to a verse and the verse said this: I will have mercy and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And that little girl, there in that jail cell, said, God, would you have compassion on me? And that little girl, she said, it's just like God spoke back and said, that's why you got the Word of God in your hand right now. Because I'm having compassion on you. The next morning when she went to the front of the judge said, how do you plead? I'm fixing to do something to you. I've told you time after time. How do you plead this time? And she said, guilty, judge. Judge, I plead guilty of this and much, much more. He said, what in the world's happened to you? She said, Judge, she held up that little Gideon New Testament. She said, I found this last night, and God found me last night.
Amen.
And he said, "Tell me more." And standing there in that court, that girl that had only had a Bible for about 6 hours in her hands began to tell the judge and everybody in that court about the loving mercy and compassion of God upon somebody as wretched as she was. Amen. You see, when I look at that, I realize you and I have opportunity and that compassion that we can have on people through acts of mercy and acts of kindness and acts of prayer, it'll make a difference every time. But you see, the Bible is a lifestyle book. The Bible's the lifestyle book. The Bible tells us how to live. The Bible tells us what to do, what not to do, so on and so forth. If the Bible's a lifestyle book and the Bible speaks of this thing of compassion, then, ladies and gentlemen, should not we allow that to be part of our lifestyle?
There you go.
Shouldn't it?
Amen.
I mean, I'm sitting here in this church and I'm watching during this day service yesterday, they wheel this poor man in here that's dying of cancer and they get him out of his car, put him in a wheelchair, wheel him in here, wheel him out. When he came forward, two of the men of the church held him up, carried him down here, held him up while he tended the business up here, walked him back. That's compassion, isn't it? Then there's a saving compassion. Point number four, saving compassion. Turn to Mark chapter 1, if you would please. Mark chapter 1. Saving compassion. Mark 1, start at verse 39. We've got to notice something here. Verse 39 to 42. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, "I will, be thou clean." You know, folks, many times we read that, but we forget something, don't we? The fact that it was totally forbidden by Jewish law to touch a leper. You know what I've realized about compassion in my own life? Compassion will overrule the things in my life that keep me away from people that really need me. I mean, folks, there's sometimes I look at some people and I think to myself, "Lord, let me go somewhere else, do something else." But compassion moves in. And it allows me to go touch the untouchable and have compassion on those that can't pay me back, no way, shape, or form. And I'm touching those that maybe can pass something on to me. But I want you to know something. As I look at this man, I realize Jesus touched this leper. He said, "Have compassion on me." You know something? You let compassion get a hold of you, and you'll find you reaching out to people that you never thought you would reach out to.
Amen. Amen.
I got a man in my church that was born a prejudiced. He hates blacks. He hates browns. He hates yellow. He don't even like people if they got a good suntan. Nothing. In general, in his past, he was a total people hater. Total people hater. But you know something? Sometimes somebody can walk into your life and they can change your life. A little black girl A little black girl started being kind to him. A little black girl turned out to be his Pollyanna. And he got to the point where he wanted to go hide. He couldn't. This little girl, she'd bring him things and thank him for things, and he'd give her a sucker like this. Here, have this. And she'd say, oh, thank you so much. And boy, she just stayed with him and stayed with him. And he got sick. She walked 2 miles to his house. Was a little 9-year-old black girl. Knocked on the door, walked in there, and he couldn't believe that a little black girl was in his house. And she walked over there and she handed him 2 little dried up cupcakes that she had baked. Because she knew he liked cupcakes. And he took them and she walked out. By the time she got to the door, he said, how'd you get here? She said, I walked. You walked? You walked 2.5 miles down this road to bring me these 2 little cupcakes? She said, sure. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it was only about 15 degrees outside. The wind was blowing, and snowy and cold. And that girl wasn't dressed for that, but she was going to bring that. And he asked her, he said, why did you do that? She said, Mr. Skaggs, Jesus wanted me to have compassion on you. Let me tell you something. If you get within a mile of Mr. Skaggs' house and say anything bad about that little girl, you're a dead man. You know that? It changed his life. Because somebody was willing to touch him. But you see, when you're touched like that, it's just not a touch on the outside. When you're touched like that, it touches your heart and your mind and your soul. It touches you to the point to where you're never the same again. Amen. You know what we need? We need some men and women, some parents and some grandparents that'll get on the altar of God and say, God, would you touch me like that? God, would you touch me in a way that I would never be the same again? God, would you touch me like that, that my children and grandchildren, all those around me, might realize that you've done something to me. We've had enough fleshly touches. We need Jesus to touch us. Even though we're filled with the sin of leprosy. Go to verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will. Glory to God. I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Now I want you to understand something, ladies and gentlemen. He touched him before the leprosy left, not after. You know what you and I need to do? We need to go touch somebody before the leprosy's gone. You know, we're willing to be nice to those that are nice to us and kind to those that are kind to us. But it really makes a difference. Do this real quick. Turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. Look what we find here. Similar thing. And it came, verse 12. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. I like that. It says full of leprosy. Who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. You know, that tells me in Mark it just said this man had leprosy. In Luke it says he was full of leprosy, covered with it. And Jesus said, I will. And he touched him. You know, folks, sometimes the greatest things you and I can do is touch somebody when they think nobody else cares. I was with a man one time, a young man, and this young man began to cry. He was sitting with me. I said, man, what's the matter with you? He said, nobody cares for me. Nobody cares for me. Oh, how that rings in my heart and mind. I was not a Christian. If I could have backed up and, boy, I've known Jesus at that point in time in my life, I'd have been able to look at him and say, yes, sir, let me tell you something. The Word of God says, when my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Have you ever seen the chick track, Somebody Loves Me? You ought to look at it. First time I ever seen the chick track, I stood in the store and cried like a baby. I could have cared less who was looking at me. It shows a little boy outside, rainy, cold, with a cup, trying to get some money to take it home to his drunken daddy. He gets a penny and he takes it home. It's rainy and cold. And the little ragged boy goes in and shows his drunken daddy what he brought home, the penny, and his dad gets mad and beats the little boy and throws him out into the rain, and the boy crawls into a box. And it's raining and there's a dog barking at him. And some little girl comes by and looks at him, and the little boy has found a track. And the front of the track simply says, Somebody Loves Me. And he shows it to the little girl, and the little girl said, Somebody Loves Me. And the little boy holds that tight as he dies. I stood in the store and I cried like a baby. People come by looking at me. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when I thought about that, I thought about, boy, there's a lot of people dying like that. You know that? Listen, there's people all around you people that would give anything if somebody would honestly love them. Amen. Selective compassion, saving compassion. Do this real quick. Two verses, I'm done. We're in the conclusion. Turn to Romans, if you would, please, real quick. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Boy, his word, his precious word. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen, you know, one of the most precious things that can happen to anybody is for somebody to give them the word of God. Isn't it right? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Share the word of God with them. Turn to Psalm 107. This is where I'm going to end. Psalm 107, verses 20, 21, and 22. Psalm 107. We look at this and we talk about compassion. We talk about saving. We talk about God's word and what it does for us. Psalm 107, 20, 21, and 22 said, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Listen, let me end on this note when it comes to this thing of compassion. You see, when I look at this, read verse 19 now. I skipped it on purpose. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of all of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them. You know something, ladies and gentlemen? God has given you and me, if you're sitting here and you're saved tonight, you have a medicine for the sin problem. The word of God.
Amen.
Share it. You've got something that'll heal a broken heart. You've got something that can reach where nobody else can reach, you see. Listen, you've got something that'll make a difference. It's just not a book. It's the living word of God that's filled with compassion. Listen, we would not know God at all, but God has given us his word and said, read this. And in that you'll find me and you'll know me. You'll know about my heart. You'll know about my concern. You'll know about my compassion.
Amen.
You see, ladies and gentlemen, when I look at this, say, why are you ending there? Because it amounts to this. It says, verse 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Have any of you ever heard of Billy Kelly? Well, he's dead, has been for a long time. Big old fella, used to play semi-pro baseball. And I knew Billy. Billy, he's kind of a strange breed, but that's the type of company I keep. See? And but Billy went into a jail. Now listen to me, and I'm ending with this. Billy went into a jail up here in Sevierville. And when he walked up to the jail, the jailer was sitting out front smoking a cigar. Billy looked at him and said, I want to go in there and preach. The jailer said, all right. Took him back there, opened the door, and there's three cells. And that cell right there, there was one man. This one, there's three or four, a couple over here. Well, Billy took to preaching. These guys playing poker, so on. This guy down here, he just turned his chair around and started listening to him. Well, Billy got disgusted with them because they just kept playing cards, wasn't paying much attention to them. He decided to turn around and walk out. He just closed, I'm leaving. That's it. You guys think, listen, I'm going. By the time he started to leave, this guy down at the end down here said, wait a minute, mister. Do you think God can save me? And Billy said, God can save anybody. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And Billy told that jailer, let me in there. He said, no, you don't know what that guy done. He said, I don't care what he done. He's half my size. He ain't going to do nothing to me. Let me in there. He let him in. Billy got down on his knees. That guy got down on his knees and they started praying. And finally that guy just stopped. And he tapped Billy on the shoulder. He said, mister, are you sure God will save me? God will have compassion on me? Billy said, yeah. He said, you don't know what I've done. Billy said, I don't care what you've done. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. I don't care what you've done. And that guy said, well, mister, you don't know what I've done. Billy said, all right, what'd you do? He said, mister, I come home drunk, and I took my little two-year-old baby up out of the crib because she was crying, and I held her little feet, and I beat her brains out on the wall. And he looked back at Billy, and he said, do you think God will have compassion on me? And Billy looked back at him, and he said, mister, is God dealing with you right now? He said, oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. He said, I've done everything wrong. He said, right now, for the first time in my life, he said, I'm seeing some things pretty clearly. And Billy said, let's pray. Well, you know something? That man got up and he hugged big old Billy. Billy left. And 2 weeks later, Billy went back up to that same jail. He told that jailer, He said, I want to go in there and preach. Jailer said, ain't no need. I said, why not? He said, because. He said, you know that guy? He said, you know that guy got saved last couple weeks ago? He said, yeah. He said, well, you know them two guys in the jail next to him? He said, yeah. He said, they got saved. He said, but none of that. He said, you know them other three that was down there playing that card game? He said, yeah. He said, that guy just talking to them, praying for them. He said, they got saved. And Billy said, they did. And the jailer jumped up and said, that ain't all. God save me too.
Amen.
But you know where it started?
That's right.
It started with one man having enough compassion for people. And he realized that compassion would make a difference. Ladies and gentlemen, compassion will make a difference. You know what you and I really need to do? You and I really need to get with God and say, dear God, would you do something in my life? Dear God, I'm missing this in my life. Oh God, I'm missing this in my life. God, would you do something like that in my life? Because listen, if he touched the leper, he healed him. And I want you to know something. You and I need to, we need God to touch us, just not in some way that gives us the thrill, but in some way that changes our hearts and our way of thinking, that melts our stony hearts and our cold minds. We need God's touch. Let's all stand. If you would please, the pastor comes and the song leader comes.